provinces. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Our Father, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Thy kingdom, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and let's forgive us for our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father God, we thank you for this day.
Yes.
We thank you for allowing us to be on this conference call. We thank you, God, for the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to go through this day and that we was able to move in some way. Father God, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Please bless us. Help us to overcome this virus, Father God. And I know, God, you're going to put it away in your own time. And Father God, thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you for allowing us to see this day. And Father God, we cannot thank you enough for the things that you have done for us. And Father God, we're asking you to help the children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, wherever they are, God, you know. And the ones that are on the street, God, they don't know which way to go, God. Please help them. And Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the things that you have done for us. And Father God, please continue to help us all.
Please.
And hope and pray that we'll be back in our church soon.
Yes.
And back to normal. This prayer that I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God. We give the good Lord praise. I'm so happy that to have been invited to share a word. And God has given me something that I think is critical for the time that we live in. And what I'm going to do, I want to scan through a section, but I'm going to recommend that everyone on the call would take time and read the entire 36th chapter in the book of 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to scan through it kind of for the conservation of time, just to give a framework for what I think we need to talk about today. And I'm going to be looking there in 2 Chronicles, and I have 36 verses 1 to 23 just for reading purposes. But there's a couple of verses I want to highlight out of that. And then I would like to start us with just a brief reading from Matthew chapter 24. And that's just to give us the background for the message. And then we hope to conclude by talking about a couple of verses from the book of John, chapter 12, something that Jesus said in the 12th chapter of John. And just to get us going here right now, I'd like to give a topic to the subject that I want to preach about for the next few minutes, which is preaching the gospel from the vantage point of the cross. That is, preaching the gospel from the vantage point of the cross. And the reason this title struck my mind was because the time we live in is a very deceptive type of time. And it's a time that we need to beware, because there are a lot of things going on that the scriptures have already predicted that I believe will usher us into a new season. I'm not going to go so far as to say I know that it's the time of the rapture or anything like that, because we don't know. Jesus said no man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. So I don't want to press it that far, but it was put in my spirit to discuss with the church, as I've been doing with our church on this end of the world over here, to be prepared. Because it is a time that we need to focus on looking at things the way God sees it. Because the reason is, Jesus was speaking to his disciples here in Matthew chapter 24, and they asked him about the sign of his coming down in verse 3. And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So we know deception is one of the biggest things that we can look for that usher in the time of his coming, based on the answer that he gave his disciples. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So we can see that already. There's a lot of brewing in the nations, among the nations, about wars, rumors of wars. Russia flying in onto the U.S. airspace in Alaska several times. And some people even think they're tweaking their instruments so that they can detect stealth bombers that America has used to go out and send them back, and so they don't come into American airspace. And so we don't know exactly what the reason is there, but as children of God, we don't need to fear these things, because Jesus already told us that there would be wars and rumors of wars. I could take literally 30 minutes and tell you about different threats of war that are already on the horizon. So it lets us know that what Jesus has predicted is completely accurate. He went on to say in verse 7 in Matthew 24, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines." We see that right now. "Pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." And he says all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then turning the corner in verse 9, he says, "Then shall they deliver you up," speaking of disciples, believers in Christ, "to be afflicted. And they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And right here, this is where I want to take just a minute, because when we speak out against the atrocities that are going on in the world, so many things, we could probably take a day and talk about that. They cast out the Bible. They cast out the Ten Commandments. They cast God out of the center of the human of the culture in America, which has happened in other cultures. It happened to Israel when they rejected the Messiah when he came. And we see that God laid them desolate because of the fact that they rejected his own son, which he had accurately predicted in the old covenant from Moses to Malachi all the way through. And so we see these things, and we need to wake up now and realize that the people who are doing this are not our enemies. They are actually our mission field. So we don't want to have a bitter spirit about the things that are going on as they cast out and make illegal things that you and I hold dear, that we have treasured as being those who are the saved. We don't want to misunderstand some of the political things that are going on in the world and look at the government as an enemy, because their problem is the same as everybody's problem. They're lost. They do not know God and the pardon of their sin. They may say they do, but some of the things they passed, as Paul told through Titus, he said that there are who claim that they know God, but by their deeds they deny him. See? And Titus 1:16, you can read that. And so the fact is, when you see governmental people holding up a Bible, talking about this is a Bible, somebody asks, "Is that your Bible?" He said, "No, this is a Bible." Well, we need people who are in the Bible and who understand what God said. But see these things as a warning and don't take offense. That's why Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you," and all these offenses will come. We will be offended. So we have to always remember, though, when we look at such things as that, and we see all the rioting and the different conflicts in the world over race relationships, and all of them, I guarantee you, children of God, every one of those stems from sin in the heart of the person who perpetrates it. The average Christian, if he's really saved, if you really have trusted in Jesus Christ, you realize he forgave you of such a weight of sin that you understand when people are in sin and entrenched in it and won't let it go. Because we've been there and done that for the most part. But the fact is, these people are not, again, they're not your enemy, they are your mission field. So we always want to preach the gospel, which is what we have been commanded clearly to do in what we call the Great Commission, as you know, to go and teach all the nations. You see that? So God, the gospel is inclusive of all the nations. He said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And so he promised to be with us. We always want to look at the world based on how God looks at the world. That is that he'd like the world to be saved. And so we want to always preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross. Now what I mean by that is that when we see the culture turning sour against God, which is going on pretty heavily, and it's at it's spreading even worse than the coronavirus, the animosity against God and the truth, and the casting out of the Bible, and the casting out of prayer in public places, and they allow anything else that calls itself religion, and they even endorse it and give praise to it. But the truth, they want that cast out and eliminated. So we need to see that as part of the characteristic of this world in the end times. But we want to keep in mind, as we mentioned, when we see these things, you don't want to have your attitude poisoned. You want to keep your mind on the prize, like Paul said so many times talking to Timothy. Keep your eye on the prize. You're running a race. Realize where you're going. And the writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And look what he went through. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. See, so we can despise the shame, but we don't want to miss out on the souls. The souls are important to God, and all that he did in the first coming of Christ was for the purpose of saving souls. And I have to say right now, and at this moment, I'm so happy he saved my soul. And I believe everyone on this line is very happy that God saved his soul. So don't think about people as being your enemies. Thank God for what he has done. Even folks in your own family who may not be tuned in to God, look at them as a point from the vantage point of the gospel and from the cross that they need to be saved. So we want to be prayerful about all those things. But what I want to get to quickly here, because my time is burning up, on the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, if you just read it meditatively tonight as you, when we finish this message, take some time and meditate, you'll see it shows in pretty much detail the demise of Israel as they came toward the end of the period when they were a sovereign nation. It was one time from the beginning of the King David's reign on through up until this time, Israel was a sovereign nation. They were the pomp of the world. Everybody looked up to Israel. Even the Queen of Sheba came up to see what's going on during the reign of Solomon, because she said that she heard so much about it, it was exciting to her. She had to come and see it for herself. And when she got there, she said the half had not been told. It was even more glorious than she ever expected. But what I want you to see is the decline of a nation who begins to put their mind on other things, worldly things, pursuits and all kinds of things of the world, riches and fame and fortune and all that kind of thing. Here you can see just a quick synopsis. It's found here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. It says here at the beginning in verse 1, the people of the land took Jehoahaz, this is the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place instead of his father in Jerusalem. Notice verse 2, he was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Short reign, 3 months. The next verse in verse 3 says, the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and gold. So silver and gold came into it, and you see foreign powers affecting the sovereign nation of Israel. Moving on, the king of Egypt made Eliakim, verse 4, his brother. See, that put conflict within the family, made his brother Eliakim the king over Judah and Jerusalem. So you see foreign kings interfering with the sovereignty of Israel. Moving on in verse number 5, Jehoiakim was 25, young people rising up to take leadership with a whole new way of looking at things. And we know that from the Old Testament. They don't think like the old heads. It was recommended that they make it harder on the people rather than making things better for the people. And so we see here so many things as we go on through this. Nebuchadnezzar says in verse number 6 of 2 Chronicles 36:6, he bound him in fetters and carried him away into Babylon. Foreign powers taking over the sovereignty of Israel. It goes on like that all the way through this 36th chapter. And I just wanted to hit a few points, because they were putting who they wanted in power, using Israel like a puppet. And so we see a lot of that in the political system in America going on right now. We see people making puppets out of folks and using them for their own benefits. And they're doing it for the purpose in their own mind. They're doing it because of wealth and power. And wealth and power can blind the one who possesses it. That's why Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. or mammon, as he uses the word there. So to move us quickly on here and bring us around to what I want you to see as we talk about preaching the gospel from the vantage point of the cross, always keep that in your mind, that these people are not folks who cannot be saved. God has saved people from the lowest even to the highest throughout the whole history, especially of the church, because Paul went and preached before all kinds of people, kings and even from paupers up to kings. But notice this conclusion here as it talks about the final demise of the nation of Israel. It says in verse chapter 36, verse 17 in the Second Chronicles, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, because the people mocked the messengers of God, it says in verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. See, when you start to see the sickness get to a point that there's no remedy, no way to fix it. You got riots within the culture, civil war built right into the culture, people fighting against each other over political things and socioeconomic things and all of that. The church needs to stay settled in Christ and not be moved. We need to preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross, not taking sides with people who are at each other's throat because of confusion that's being introduced by the devil, by the world, and by the flesh. So it says here in conclusion, as they rejected all the prophets that God sent. Verse 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. He allowed them to be taken into captivity. And all the vessels of the house of God, we talk about being out of the church because of a virus, God threw Israel out of the temple. He said, you all have not been my people. And he had the Nebuchadnezzar come in and take all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes. All these he brought into Babylon. See that? Very, very, very shocking, powerful thing. But God wants devotion from his people. He wants us to remember him in the center of everything. And they burn the house of God, verse 19 says in 2 Chronicles 36, and break down the walls of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And so we see God take serious action when his people get out of whack. So we want to be careful, as I mentioned, always keep the preaching of the gospel as our vantage point from the cross. Think about what God did. He came in the midst of all that confusion that was going on in Israel. There were things that clashed against the gospel, the status quo. The gospel was not acceptable for the general people who were under Roman dominion by the time Jesus showed up the first time. There were political and cultural and socioeconomic systems and problems that were a conflict against the good news that God had sent his son to save whosoever believes in him. You know what? The gospel is inclusive of all people groups. So we don't want to get hung up in a particular people group. I mean, it's not right when you see things that people do against a particular people group. Yeah, that's wrong. But we want to look at all of this to preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross. The cross is the important thing, and without Christ, no one can be saved. So we don't want to get hung up in some of the things and the devices that the world puts together for greed or for fallen human pride. We have people now so proud, they don't even want to. We're going through the worst time I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'm getting to be an old guy. And I've never seen anything like this in all my days. And then, you know what it used to be, that the people who were in charge would say, we want to sanctify a day of prayer and let the whole nation go on their face before God and before Christ and ask for a lifting of the situation or a stay of the virus or whatever it is. We won't hear that now because people are too proud and they think they don't need God. They think they can operate without God. But the church needs not to get hung up in that. You are the called out ones. You have to always remember to preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As I conclude, I want you to see what Jesus said here in John chapter number 12. And you'll have, kind of have to let the Spirit of God put all this together for you, and I believe He will do that based on the prayer and the scripture that was read earlier. So He says here now in John 12:27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what will I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I to this hour." He said, I'm not going to ask God to save me for the hour for which I came. I came to be crucified. I came to take up the sin of the world upon myself. I came to satisfy my Holy Father, who no one else has ever done or ever will. So He says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." I believe He glorified it the first time He came, and the second time is when He's going to come with a shout, and He's going to glorify it again. And the people that therefore that stood by and heard it, they said it thundered. They said, "We heard something from heaven. We didn't know what it was," or an angel spoke to him. They had a big misunderstanding of what had happened. God had spoken to His own Son, because the hour of Him to come, that He came for and His whole life had come. So Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sake." So remember that He's always there. He's for everyone. There is no people group that has a greater advantage than any other people group. Everybody needs to be saved, and the gospel is universal. It's to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And the problems that we see in our country are small by comparison to all the problems that are going on in the world. Not to disregard or disrespect those problems. Yes, they are wrong. Racial systemic racism is wrong. But we don't want to. The reason it's being done is folks need to be saved. If they're actually saved, if we preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross, maybe they'll get saved and they'll stop that. See, the Ku Klux Klan is the Ku Klux Klan because they lost and they don't know Jesus. We could go on and on naming white supremacist groups and black hate groups or whoever they are. All of y'all are lost. I need to keep my eye on Christ and preach the gospel to every creature, because there's no group that's right or wrong. All of y'all are wrong if you're not in the Christ. If Christ is not on the tip of your lips, something is wrong with your spirit. And so I got to see it that way and always look at it as from the vantage point of the cross. Because the cross is the only way for anyone anywhere to be saved, and it's the only way that the church can stand. And saying this now, moving on, and Jesus goes on to say, "Now is the judgment of this world, and now will the prince of this world be cast out." So He has to cast out the devil and all his works. "But to you and me, as I conclude, if I be lifted up from the earth," He says, "I will draw all men unto me." And this He said, signifying what death He should die. And it's the death of Christ and His resurrection that's the only thing that will save the sicknesses of these people who we're dealing with. So we don't ever want to lose sight of that. We want to preach the gospel from the vantage point of the cross, because God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. So I hope these words have helped you. And pray on the words, and tonight I'll be in prayer also. And I think we have to keep our focus right there. And I asked all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.